EM.
Welcome to the Fontenelle Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. To say it was a whirlwind kind of week, I think it's putting it mildly. So many different factors that we have seen this week within the trade. And the big question is, how did it all finish out the week? What were the platforms that we saw for both corn and soybeans? And why did corn spread between December and March go down so much like it did this week? That's just the tip of what we're going to talk about today with Jeff Peterson. He is with Heartland Farm Partners. So we got to start out, Jeff. I mean, this was a week you didn't want to get far from the screen, especially if you were trying to do some marketing of grains. So having said that, how do you see both corn and beans finishing out for the week?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting week of trade. You know, all the excitement kind of started last week. You know, we saw some really back and forth action happen on Friday, and it definitely continued in the first part of this week. And overall, if we take a look at corn, and this would be off the March futures, and I know everybody probably knows this, but, you know, we're working off the March now because most all the bids have moved from December to March. So you may have seen some adjustments on basis out there as bids move from the December over to the March over time. But anyway, for the week, March corn is down 7¾ cents. As we move over to the December 2022, new crop down 10¼. Beans actually fared better on the soybean side for January. Soybeans were up 14¼. However, we did see some new crop pressure come in on the November 2022. It was down 6¼ for the week, Susan.
So then why did we see such a big spread like we did in that December to March for the corn?
Yeah, as we take a look at that, you know, and that's actually a good sign. The market carry came out. It came out of there. It also came out of the soybean summit. And it's just talking to us about what the nearby demand is. And even though we've seen some pressure, you know, on the corn side, beans fared a little better. It's telling us that we've got good demand, whether it's for soybeans going to crush, whether it's soybeans going export. Over on the corn side, there's good feed demand out there. We're also seeing still very good demand yet on the export side. So we hear a lot of talk about the exports on corn and beans, and we're going to get into that more. But, you know, there's still bushels moving. And on the ethanol side, there's still good demand on the ethanol production side, so that helps out there. So as we bring all that together, we saw that carry come out of the market. And when we see that happen, that's a sign that we've got some real demand. We've also seen, you know, really good strength yet on the basis side. We're going to talk more about that later in the segment. So that's kind of how everything got off to going this week, Susan.
Let's talk ethanol production. I know that there's been a lot of discussion from Washington, D.C. on down when we look at these gas prices and production and the holidays coming up. How are we sitting production-wise, and can we continue to keep some good demand going?
You know, I think so. It's actually pretty amazing that corn held in as good as it's did. And this is kind of a hard number to kind of think about here, Susan. But overall, from our peak where we reached on crude oil to where we actually bottomed out earlier this week, crude oil is down $23 a barrel, or 27%. And much of that came because of what we ended up seeing with the Omicron variant out there. We've also, you know, had some talk about the release coming out of Strategic Reserve. But anyway, how that translates over to the weekly ethanol production, the numbers that came out on Wednesday, a little over 1 million barrels per day, 1,000,035. That was up 6.3% compared to a year ago. And when we take a look at how we're stacking up, you know, since September 1st, we're actually up 7.5% on the ethanol production compared to a year ago at this time. Now, when we go back and look at what that looks like going back to November's WASD report, USDA had us only being up about 4.4%. So we do think with the margins that are out there, we'll continue to see strong ethanol production. There's enough corn out there, and because of where the margins are at, they can afford to pay the higher basis levels. So we think as we go down the road, we'll have to see an increase by WASD, by USDA in the next WASD report, or the next, maybe the January one, we'll have to raise the ethanol production. Now, right with the ethanol production, we always take a look at what's going on with the ethanol stocks and watch that and make sure that we're not just building supply. But actually, as we look at those numbers, we're encouraged. We're coming in at about 20.3 million barrels of stocks on hand. That's actually down 4.4% compared to last year. So last year at this time, we were seeing a build in the ethanol stocks, but this year we're actually holding steady, which is a good sign with the amount of ethanol production that we've got going on. So it tells us there's gallons of the ethanol being blended in. to our domestic use, and we're also seeing some exports happening on that to keep us steady there, Susan. So that's a good sign so far.
Well, you talk exports, and it seems like we're, I don't want to jinx this, but we're just kind of in this quiet type of mode this last couple of weeks. How are we doing okay for corn at this point?
Yeah, as we take a look at corn, I mean, there's a few concerning things out there. When we take a look at the export numbers themselves, you know, this last week, they came in at about 1,021,000 metric tons. And we need about 702 million metric tons per week to go ahead and meet USDA's projections. Now, when we take into account those export sales, and we also come in and look at basically what we've already shipped, as we look at corn, we are down about 7% when we bring that all together. And so when we see that we're down 7% right now, USDA has us down about 9.2%. So even though we're down 7, I mean, what that actually would tell us is that we're probably on pace if we stay where we're going here to meet USDA's number. We then swing over and take a look at the export inspections and see what we're actually getting shipped out there. And right now, year to date, you know, we're down about 17%. So if we were to just look at the inspection side, you know, that would be saying we're down more than the 9.2% that USDA says. But we're in a time of frame in here where I think we'll continue to see our export inspections pick up. And actually, Susan, as we go down the road, we really do believe that I think we could see export numbers actually have to be increased in future reports. And we're more looking at that because of the smaller crop that Brazil had on that Safrina crop. And we think we'll price in nicely, and especially with the high prices out there on wheat.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what's been happening on the soybean export side of it. We know that there's pressure. We're into December. So where is South America at with their crop? And is there numbers that are changing? And weather, of course, we had heard some early talk that this month might be dry for them as well. A lot more is coming up as we continue with the Friday edition of the Fontenelle Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
At Fontenelle Hybrids, we hear a lot from our customers and dealers that we have a family feel to our organization. Just ask Doug Bartek, a Fontenelle dealer at Wahoo, Nebraska.
I feel Fontenelle is very family-oriented. They care a great deal about their customers and provide updates on what could be occurring out in the field and what to watch out for. I feel fortunate to work with a great group of people who provide a quality product.
For more on being part of the Fontenelle family, just go to Fontenelle.com. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back to the Fontenelle Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We'll continue our conversation with Jeff Peterson. He is with Heartland Farm Partners. And we left off kind of talking about corn exports and where they are. We're going to flip and look at the soybean side of it because we know there's pressure coming from South America. How are we doing right now when it comes to bean exports from the U.S.?
Well, you know, and that's one of the areas out there that's got everybody's attention and they're watching very closely. As we dig in and take a look at this numbers, on Thursday, we got some export sales numbers, a little over 1 million metric tons, 1,063,000. And when you look at those numbers, we only need about 466,000 metric tons. So well ahead of that number, but this it was the lowest amount of export sales we've had going back to the first days of October. And what happens is that even though we don't need a lot more, what happens in here pretty soon, believe it or not, you know, South America will start harvesting some of their first beans the latter part of December. Now, a lot of that won't officially get going harder until we get into January, and, you know, it won't make its way into the export channels hard until we get more in the latter part of January into February. So we do have a window in here yet, but everybody's concerned about where the numbers are at. So when we take a look at what we've shipped and what we've actually got out there outstanding so far, you know, on the soybean side, we're down about 29%. Compared to a year ago, and that goes back to where the crop year started there on September 1st. When we dig in to look at those inspections, I mean, so we've got the sales, that's part of it, but the inspections are what we're getting shipped out. This last week, we shipped out about 78.7 million bushels, which, you know, that's the lowest amount of shipments we've had going back to the first days of October, so we're slowing down a little bit more than what we'd like to see. Year to date, since September, we've shipped out about 22.5% less soybeans than what we physically would have last year at this time. USDA overall coming out of the November report out of the WASD said our exports overall were only going to be down about 9.5%. So we do need to see our exports pick up here. I do think as we go down the road, we could see them pick up just a little bit yet, but we're going to have to watch close. It appears what China's doing is China was able to import enough beans, I think, from Brazil to kind of get them by in here. There was more beans than normal available into the harvest window time here that we're having here in the U.S. What it kind of feels like is they're going to see how their weather progresses. They know that the U.S. has got enough soybeans. So if for some reason it looks like South America isn't going to have enough soybeans, or the timing isn't going to be quite what they like, they know they can come back to the U.S. They might have to pay a little bit higher basis than if they had bought them sooner out of the U.S., but they know that there's soybeans to be had. And that kind of appears to be what the strategy they're going to be working on the soybeans. Susan, it's not that there isn't demand in China for soybeans. It's just they've got enough of them coming at them right now.
Is there fears from a South American perspective that this weather in December is going to turn dry and cause some crop concerns?
Yeah, that's a trend that's actually kind of continuing to get some more talk out there in the industry. And, you know, if we were to just look big picture and say, okay, so what's going on down there on the weather side? And overall, what we'd have to say is that for all areas in Brazil, except for probably the very southern part of Brazil, you know, they've got off to a really good start. And the southern part of Brazil, and in particular, you know, you take a look at Mato Grosso do Sul, Rio Grande do Sul, maybe Paraná, and those areas in Brazil, there's definitely some dryness. And to give you an example, Rio Grande do Sul, for the first part of November, had about 1.8 inches of rainfall. And normally for the first half of November, they should have about 5.4 inches. And to kind of put that in perspective, Susan, that would be the driest first half November in the last 20 years. So there's some concern in Rio Grande do Sul. And as you take a look at Paraná, they started off actually with some really wet conditions that actually even delayed some of their planting. But then we came in the first part of November here with about 1.2 inches compared to about 5.1 inches on the normal side. So that was a little drier than what they liked. And overall, then we take a look at Argentina. And Argentina, you know, they're the largest soybean meal exporter and also the largest soybean oil exporter. So they take a lot of their soybeans and turn it into oil and meal by the crush side. And, you know, they're drier than they'd like to be. Now, it does look like Argentina could pick up some rains, maybe in the west, southwest part, but it does look like the eastern part of Argentina is going to be drier than what we'd like to see. So this is definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on going forward, Susan.
Well, having said that, are we decent values right now when we look at both corn and soybeans?
You know, actually, we really are. And I was just looking at those numbers a little bit ago. And how we look at those, Susan, is we always like to go back and take that stocks to use percentage. So we'll go into that WASDE report. We'll take the ending stocks. We'll divide it by total demand, get a stocks to use percent. And when we take that stocks to use percent and we say for corn, you know, what should fair value be with a 10% stocks to use ratio? That would say corn should probably be around $5. So we're actually a little bit overvalued right now, Susan.
Lots to look at. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you, Jeff?
Yeah, give me a call at 402-366-4694. Check us out on the web at heartonefarmpartners.com. Click on the sign up now to get some free daily commentary, or follow me on Twitter at JeffPeterson01.
And that is today's Fontenelle Final Bell, being brought to you by Fontenelle Hybrids and all your local dealers on the Rural Radio Network.